birth of Christ, I need a little Christmas love from you today. So if you'll repeat this after me, God is,
God is,
God was,
God was,
God will be,
God will be
with us.
That's
the message that I hope that you hear today, and I hope that you will apply that truth to your life as we focus on the incarnation of Christ. What is the significance of God coming to us through His Son, Jesus Christ? What is the real significance of Christmas? What does it ultimately mean that God is indeed with us? Now, I'm curious, how many of you have ever prayed and you said, God, will you be with me, or God, will you be with us? How many pray that? You're going on a road trip. God, be with us as we travel. God, don't let the kids kill each other in the back seat. Don't let me pull over and kill the kids while they're in the back seat. We have all of these different thoughts. God, be with me as I go out on this blind date. I pray this guy or this girl's not a psycho or a stalker or something like that. Some of our students, they've been praying these last few weeks, God, help me with my finals. Help me on my exams. And God said, you should have studied a little bit more, and your results might have been better. But we often pray and say, God, be with me. What does that mean? What does it mean to say, God, I want you to be with us? I want to read from Matthew's version of the birth of Christ. Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 21. Matthew speaks about the Virgin Mary, and listen to what he says. He says, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now, without question, that is the announcement that people had been longing to hear for centuries. Church, Matthew makes this announcement. This is the good news of the gospel. This is what Christmas is all about. He continues in verse 22. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord said through the prophet. Now pause for just a moment. Matthew is about to quote the Old Testament prophet, Isaiah. It's recorded in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Isaiah prophesied some 740 years before Jesus' birth took place. Now, I don't know about you, but I am blown away at how good God is. I'm blown away how big our God is. Can you believe that over seven centuries before Jesus was born, this prophecy concerning his birth is proclaimed? And we see the prophecy, it's being fulfilled here in Matthew. Look in verse 23. It says, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him what? What is the name? Emmanuel, which means what?
God
with us. So friend, Matthew records the most earth-shattering news possible. You see, everyone listening to Matthew's announcement, they would know that in the Old Testament, the scripture said that God was so holy that you couldn't look upon him in his purest essence and live. In the Old Testament, the people knew that they would have known that Moses had to hide his face when God passed by because Moses could not handle the full-blown presence of God. These people, they would have known that when God dwelt in the temple, that no one was allowed to go into the holy place except the high priest, and he could only go in one time a year because God was so holy. And yet here in Matthew 1, suddenly Matthew proclaims, God is with us. And church, what was it that made the shepherds run back into the fields rejoicing? What is it that caused the wise men to fall on their face and bow down and worship? I think it was this fact and this fact alone. It was the truth that God is not distant, that he is not far removed. He is not an uninvolved God. Let me assure you, God is not someone who just watches over us from afar. No, the birth of Christ means that God is with us, the creator, the sustainer of the universe. He is a relational God who stripped himself of his glory, and he became like us in the form of a baby. A baby who was fully God and yet fully man. God came to us in the person of Jesus. And Jesus was without sin. He dwelt among us on earth. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh. That's Jesus. And he dwelt among us. So Matthew is teaching this amazing truth that God is with you, that God was with you, and that God will be with you. And friend, that's the best news ever. But the problem is that some of us simply don't believe it. And I know that you don't believe it because you're not responding to the fact that God is with us. And God has been with us. And He will be with us. Some of you don't believe in God, and therefore you don't believe that He is with you. And I understand where you're at. But for those of us who are believers, when I tell you that God is with you, some of you are thinking, yeah, but I don't feel it. I'm going through some stuff, and I don't have goosebumps, and I don't know. I'm in a tight spot right now. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but Christmas is like this great magnifier. It magnifies the good. It makes things really good, but it also magnifies the pain and seems to make things more painful. Some of you are facing an empty chair this year. Someone that you wish was going to be here for Christmas isn't, maybe because of death or because of divorce or distance. For some of you, there is so much pain that you feel that it's like it's bad news. It's like it has wrecked your life. It might be relational tension. It may be a health issue that you're going through. You might be thinking, where is God in all of this? I don't feel God. I don't see Him. If God is really there, why is this happening? And some of you, if you were honest, you would say, I've done something in my life that I am so ashamed of. I just can't imagine that God wants to be with someone like me. Friend, I hope that before we wrap things up this morning, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I pray that you are convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is, that God was, and that God will always be with you, no matter what. He is Emmanuel, which means God with us. And church, I believe that when God plants that truth in your heart, I'm here to tell you that you will never be the same. And so let me break this message down into three thoughts today. And the first thought is this: God is with you. God is with you. In Luke chapter 1, verse 28, an angel appears to a teenage girl named Mary. And the angel says, "Greetings, you who are highly favored." And notice what it says. The Lord is what? The Lord is with you. Listen, the very first truth the angel proclaims to this young girl is exactly what she needed to know. The Lord is with you. And the reason that truth is so important is because the angel is about to ask Mary to do something very difficult. Some of you this morning, you're hurting right now, and I want you to understand that the Lord is with you in a very powerful way. The Bible says that our God is the God of all comfort. Friend, He is the God who comforts us in our trials. In the original language, the word parakletos, para means alongside, kletos means to call. The idea is, and I want you to see this picture of God coming alongside of you, that God is with you. The things that you're going through, God is coming alongside and He's ministering to you in your times of trouble. And church, I think that is a beautiful picture. It is so comforting for us to know that our God comes alongside to comfort us, to minister to us in our times of trouble. I know there are many who don't believe this to be true, but folks, if you don't just hear this truth, but if you really believe it, it will change the way that you do everything. I was trying years ago to convince my son that he was going to be okay, that he was going to be safe because I was with him. And with me at his side, he should feel safe. Well, we were at Chuck E. Cheese. Who likes Chuck E. Cheese? Anybody? I'm not sure why you're laughing. It might be because Chuck E. Cheese is the only place you can get B-minus pizza with a rodent rubbing you on top of your head. Maybe that's why you're laughing. But we'd take the family to Chuck E. Cheese, and it cost about $75 for lunch. And then for another $200, you could buy some tickets or tokens, and they could play games. And so they would get 46,000 tickets that would be redeemable for one plastic Frisbee. And the Frisbee would be broken before we even got home. Maybe that's why you're laughing. But anyway, we had taken the kids to Chuck E. Cheese. Logan was probably 3 or 4 years old at the time. And when Chucky came out, Logan was afraid of Chucky. And some of you thinking, well, who is Chucky? I'm not talking about Chucky the doll. Everybody ought to be afraid of Chucky the doll. That dude is whacked. But I'm talking about the mouse. So Chucky's this Mickey Mouse looking thing, and Logan was afraid of Chucky, and I was encouraging Logan to give Chucky a hug, and it wasn't happening. And Logan said, "Dad, I'm afraid." And I said, "Logan, I'll be with you. It's okay. Go ahead and give Chucky a hug." But he said, "Dad, I'm afraid." And I said, look, I just paid $75 for this nasty pizza, and I want to get a picture, so you go hug the mouse right now, and you act like you love it. But he refused. He would not do it. And so finally I said, look, you stay here, and I'll go over to Chucky, and I'm thinking it's probably some 16-year-old kid in this mouse costume. And so I just walked up and said, listen, my son's a little bit afraid of you, so just kind of work with me here. Don't do anything to make him afraid. And so I said, hey, Logan, watch this. And I kind of took my hand and kind of popped Chucky across the nose, and Chucky popped me back in the stomach. I said, dude, you're not following along. What I'm asking you to do is don't hit me back. And so I went like this again and kind of brushed across his face, and he hit me back a second time. I thought, look, it's not funny anymore. What some of you don't realize, I haven't always been Pastor Jason. And so part of me wanted to put Chucky in a headlock. And the moment I would, one of your kids would have ran up and said, Mama, why does our pastor have that big mouse in a headlock? So I tried to convince Logan, look, when you need to understand that when I am with you, it's going to be okay. When I'm with you, that it's going to be safe. And friend, I want you to listen closely to what I'm about to say. Please hear this. When you and I understand that the God of the universe, the all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere present God, when you realize that God is with you, it changes everything. Amen? I mean, let me just spell this out for you. When you're lost and you don't know where to go, God is with you as your guide. When you're hurting and you feel alone, God is with you as your friend. When you're in the middle of a trial, God is with you as your comforter. When you're sick, God is with you as your healer. When you're weak, God is with you. He is your strength. And when you feel overcome by your sin, God is with you as your Savior. And if anyone has the urge to say amen, now would be a good time to do it. Amen. That's our God we're talking about. The all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere present God. He is with us. A second thought I want to share with you this morning is that God was with you. Not only is God with us, but God was with you. When you look back over your life, you can clearly see the hand of God at work. And let me tell you something I've learned. I've discovered that sometimes it's easier to see God in the rearview mirror than it is to see God in the moment. Sometimes it takes us looking back in order for us to see God's hand at work. I'm reminded of the story of Joseph in the Old Testament. Not Mary's Joseph, but the other Joseph, the Joseph in the Old Testament. You remember the story of Joseph. Joseph was a little boy who had big dreams. He claimed that he would be a leader. His brothers protested. They said, look, you're nothing but a punk, and you're cocky about it. And so his brothers, they beat him up, and they threw him in a pit, and they were going to leave him there to die. And one of the brothers said, look, since he is our brother, instead of leaving him for dead, let's sell him into slavery. And so that's what they did. They sold Joseph into slavery. Joseph arrives in his new location. He is falsely accused. He's thrown into prison. And despite all of these bad things happening in Joseph's life, he continued to live with integrity. Now, if you're reading Joseph's story, if you're following the turn of events from a distance, it would be easy to read the story and say, where's God in this? Where is God? Church, it's important that we see the story over the course of Joseph's life so that we don't miss the fact that God was there. God was working behind the scenes. You could say that the pit became the passage to the palace where Joseph would soon be second in command over all of Egypt. God used a very indirect route to get Joseph in charge so that God could save countless people from this tremendous famine that took place. And we might question, where was God in this? But Genesis 39:21 tells us where God was. The Bible says the Lord was where? The Lord was with Joseph. Church, that's where God was. You look back at Joseph's life and God was there. God was with Joseph. I look back over my life. I see times when God was very clearly with us. When Bridget and I were first married, I was a full-time seminary student. I worked two different jobs. Bridget was working as many hours as she could, but we were living more on more love than money at the time. And I remember when we had several things that kind of broke down all at one time, when everything broke down, we got broke real fast. And so we prayed and we said, God, be with us financially. And God provided for us. We never missed a meal. We never missed a payment. God was with us. He was our provider. God was here a few years ago. We had a couple in our church that wanted to have children. They wanted to conceive and have a child. They had some, they tried some medical procedures. They tried everything they knew. And we just prayed and said, God, please provide a child for this couple. And 9 months later, praise God, God was with them when they gave birth to a healthy child. God was with us. I went to the hospital early one Sunday morning to visit a family whose daughter, in a moment of desperation, she had attempted to take her life. And I walked into the ER, and one of the doctors pulled me aside and said, listen, the volume of meds that this girl had taken, she shouldn't be here right now. She took enough medicine. She should be dead. But we prayed, and we called upon God, and we said, God, be with us. Prayed with her parents, and church, God was with us, and that young girl made a complete recovery. God was with us then, and God was with me 30 years ago on my last Christless Christmas. I had many Christless Christmases. I was what they called a CEO Christian. Anybody know what a CEO Christian is? Christmas and Easter only, and that was me. That was kind of what I did. I knew the story of Jesus, but I didn't have a heart relationship with Christ. I knew the story, but I didn't know the Savior. And I remember the pastor reading the scripture that we read earlier today. The virgin will be with child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. I remember thinking, if what this preacher is saying is true, if God really is with us, then there's only one reasonable response, and that is for me to give my life to God. And church, 3 weeks later, January 19th, 1989, that's exactly what I did. I asked Christ to save me from my sin. I asked him to rule my life. And God was with me as I knelt down one person, and he was with me as I stood up a different person, transformed by his power. And folks, the reason I do what I do today is because I know that God is with me and that God was with me. And I know that God is with you and that God was with you. And one more thought, number three, is that God will be with you. God will be with you. I can assure you that no matter what you go through in this life, God will be with you. Our God is faithful. I want you to think this morning about Mary, this young teenage girl. Imagine if she had been allowed to look into the future. When the angel said, the Lord will be with you, imagine if she could just see the events that would unfold in the future. She might have said, God will be with me when I conceive this child by the Holy Spirit. God will be with me when I break the news to Joseph. And God will be with Joseph when an angel confirms in a dream that I'm telling him the truth. God will be with us when we travel on the back of a donkey at 9 months pregnant for over 100 miles to Bethlehem. God will be with me when there's no room for us in the inn. God will be with me when I give birth to the Son of God in a stable next to farm animals. God will be with me when I'm on the run trying to save the life of my son. God will be with me when my son is 12 years old and we cannot find him, but later discover that he was in the temple teaching the teachers about the Father's business. Church, if Mary could have looked into the future, she might have said, God will be with me when I watch my son being falsely accused and persecuted. God will be with me when I watch my son suffer on a cross, brutally abused by those for whose sin he would die. Mary might have said, God will be with me as I watch him suffer. God will be with me when my son looks to heaven and declares, it is finished. And God will be with me when the sky goes dark and the earth begins to shake. God will be with me on the first night after his death as I wait and wonder. And God will be with me on the second night as I wait again. And God will be with me on the third day when the stone is rolled away and the tomb is empty and he is not there because he arose. Church, he is Emmanuel. He is God with us. And he is God who was with us. And he is God who will be with us no matter what we go through. I love how the Apostle Paul emphasizes this truth in Romans chapter 8. Paul, he said it this way. He said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble? And the answer is no. Shall hardship? No. How about persecution? No. Famine? No. How about danger? No, but in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. And then he continues in verses 38 and 39 with this. Paul says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus." Amen. Friend, please understand that nothing, no thing is able to separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. God promises that He will never leave nor forsake you. Nothing can separate you, not your fears or your doubts, not your insecurities or your theological questions. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, not your broken dreams, not things that happen that you cannot explain, not your brokenness or your failures, not sickness or divorce. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Why? Because God is with you, and God was with you, and God will be with you. In Revelation chapter 1, Jesus testified. He said, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the one who was and who is to come, the Almighty." He is the God who is with you, He is the God who was with you, and He is the God who will be with you forever. Church, our God was with us. Amen? Amen. It's written. It's settled. He is Emmanuel, which means God with us. And maybe the question that we really need to answer today is this. God is with us. The question is, are you with God? Maybe that's the question that is pressing this morning. Are you with Him? And I think that's the question that needs to be answered. Friend, it's time for you to give an honest answer. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. And more than anything else, God wants to reveal His love, His character, His goodness to you. God wants you to be with Him. He wants you to love Him with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And listen, folks, He's not a God who is far off or uninvolved or distant. But He is a relational God who came to earth to reveal Himself to you and to forgive you of your sin so that you can know Him, so that you can serve Him, and so that you can experience eternal life. Some of you are at a place where you really need to know that God is with you. You're going through some difficulties, some challenges. Let me just remind you this morning that God is indeed with you. If you need His presence, God is here today. He is a God who is faithful. He is a God who has been faithful to us and present in the past. And I think you will find that His presence is more than enough, even now. My prayer is that the Holy Spirit would bring a peace into your life that goes beyond your ability to understand. I pray that His presence would guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I pray that He would come alongside you and that He would comfort you in your time of need. We know that God is with us. The question is, are we with God? Are you with Him? I want to challenge you to answer that question this morning as honestly as you can. I know as I look back at my life 30 years ago, I would have been forced to say that I'm not with God. I'm not with Him. I did the church thing every now and then. I believed that there was a God. I knew the story of Jesus, but I didn't know Him in a personal way. Friend, are you with God? Does your life reflect an ongoing, loving relationship with the God of the universe? And if the answer is no, then I want to tell you that it is no accident that you're here today. Listen, God is reaching out to you. Some of you would like to know God, but you realize that you messed up in the past. Let me just tell you very directly and lovingly that you're correct. You're not good enough for God, and neither am I. We're all sinners. We've all fallen short. And that's why we need a Savior. That's why Jesus was born. That's why He lived His life without sin. He came to this earth to be the perfect sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus died so that we can be forgiven. And He rose again so that anyone who calls upon His name will become a new creation in Christ. Friend, are you with God? God wants you to respond to His gift of salvation. You can't earn salvation because it's a free gift from God. But once you've received his gift, the only reasonable response is for you to give him a fully surrendered life. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus said this. He says, "If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you don't confess me before men, I won't confess you before my Father in heaven." The good news is that today you can publicly say, "I'm with God." Today you can publicly declare, "I need a Savior, and I don't care what anyone else thinks. I don't want another Christless Christmas. But I want to go public with this. I am with God, and I know that God is with me." And so I encourage you right where you are this morning. Would you just say to him, "Jesus, save me from my sins. Jesus, make my life new. Help me turn away from sin as I place my trust in you. You are the salvation that I seek. And so I ask you to fill me with your Spirit, that I might serve you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen." And if you want someone to pray with you in just a moment while the congregation sings, you meet me down front, and I'd be happy to pray with you this morning. If you are a Jesus follower and you believe that friendship is where God wants you to worship and to grow and to serve, then now is the time for you to come. Today is the day for you to join this community of faith. Friend, please do not delay your obedience to God. If God's made it clear this is where he wants you to be, then you honor that and you be obedient to that this morning. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. Lord, to know that you're with us and that you have been with us and that you will continue to be with us. Father, I just thank you for how you come alongside. And Lord, as we look back in the rearview mirror as believers, we know so many times that you've proven your faithfulness. Even when we were faithless, you've been faithful. You provided for us. You've cared for us. You've loved us. You've given us the strength, the wisdom. And Father, we just praise you for that this morning. God, there are some in this place today who do not know you as Lord and Savior. The reality is that although your invitation is there and it's open, they haven't accepted that invitation, and therefore they're not with you. God, I pray that this would not be another Christless Christmas, but that today, God, I pray through the drawing of your Holy Spirit that you would bring conviction of sin, that you would bring an awareness of need to surrender their life to you. God, help believers who may have not gone public with their decision to take that stand, to confess you before others as their Heavenly Father. God, move in this place in an unhindered way. We give you all the praise and glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.